to another Sunday to Sabbath. My name is Mike Scann. I'm the senior pastor of Epic Life Church in Terrell, Texas. We were once a Sunday church, but we are now a Sabbath-keeping church. And this podcast is all about everything Torah and the Word of God. And today we're going to do something a little bit different. We've never done this before. We did try to get the video that we're going to talk about. You know, part of being an epic, part of being a Torah community, and especially with the podcast of Sunday to Sabbath, one of the things I think that we have discovered, you know, before I go any further, I can't forget the host with the most, all right? And I couldn't do this without this guy. But I will say this.
Hi, everybody.
You're not on yet, bro.
Oh.
All right. So wait till I say your name. Okay.
I've never been on TV.
You're getting so anxious, man. You're like, it's all about me.
whatever.
Inside joke. All right. So, yeah, before I go any further, I got to talk to you about Mr. Tyler Utkov. Many of y'all know. Now you can say hello. You're on live now.
Hi, everybody.
Like, look here. Can you not see the colors? Can you not see
that? Oh, okay. I am number two.
You're not number two. You're number one in my book.
Oh.
All right.
All right.
But a little humor. We need some humor. It needs to be light, a little bit lighthearted right now, because we are going to be talking about
a heavy topic.
Yeah. And so let me tell them what's happened. So what has happened is I was sent a video from someone within our community that absolutely, to be honest, man, it was very startling.
Yeah.
Because it really echoes... It echoes doctrine and theology. The whole reason why this podcast exists is to help people not just live out the life that they're created for, but as we're coming from Sunday to Sabbath, one of the things that we recognized early on, just like there are in the Sunday church, there are things out there, there are doctrines out there that our viewers, that our listeners would agree, man, this is absolute garbage, right? It's just, like, where do they come up with this stuff?
Yeah.
This really is how cults are created when you start listening to guys like this.
Yeah.
And that's dangerous. It's very dangerous teaching that is out there. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand, first of all, I want to say this. I love opinions. And if you have an opinion that's different than mine, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But when you begin to make mention to say, this is what the scriptures teach, this is what the Bible says.
Yeah, right.
And you begin to bring about some sort of doctrine
yeah.
that really doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And it's really an opinion. Now, if you get on there and you say, hey, this is just my opinion, guys. This is what I think. And you label out an opinion, that's one thing. But when you begin to make this kind of a salvational issue.
Yeah.
Right. And what we're going to talk about. I'm going to say is really borderline, like what we have seen already in, you know, you've been doing this, you know, Tyler, a lot longer than I have. I'm relatively new into the Torah movement, but what I'm not new into is the study of scripture.
Sure.
And making sure that we're bringing truth.
Right.
Right. And the truth is prevailing. Mm-hmm. We see this in, we see a lot of false teaching in the, name it, claim it group.
Yeah.
Right. We see a lot of, cause I want to pick on everybody a little bit.
Sure.
In the, seeker friendly churches. Like I used to be one. Uh-huh. And I can tell you right now, man, the amount of false teaching that was in the seeker friendly is absolutely,
a
lot. There's a lot of it out there.
Yeah.
So when this video was sent to me, this video was sent for the reason of trying to convince a person within our community that they should be following this particular
understanding,
would that be good? Understanding or theology? Would you say theology?
Yeah.
And so they asked me to look at it. And for me, now I know you've done a better job in studying it. We're going to go to you here in just a second. I could only get about, I'm going to turn this down just a little bit because I think I'm redlining. I think that I only looked at about 4 minutes of it. And in 4 minutes, I found at least four biblical, not even opinionated, just four biblical errors that I found in this gentleman.
Yeah.
And
long.
And I know there are people out there probably going to be listening to us, right? And they're all into this guy.
Yeah.
And I just, look, I don't know his character. I don't know what kind of guy he is. And so please understand me right off the top. We are not coming against this guy as we don't know
Right.
who he is.
Yeah.
Like, I've never met this guy.
Sure.
But there are teachings out there that we got to, like, hey, wait a minute, man.
Yeah.
There's some very dangerous teachings out there. And this isn't, that's what, that's why we want to talk about this. So
Yeah.
we're looking at a video that, I'm just gonna, should we just give the title or should we give the whole thing or what do you think?
Yeah, just so people understand, we're not just like making this up. Like, it's called The Red Heifer and Eschatology
The Red Heifer and Eschatology.
by do you want
Yeah, I think we
to
should.
Rico
Rico
Cortez?
Cortez.
Yeah.
Luckily, we're a pretty small little group. We don't have a whole mess of followers, so this may not even get out to Rico. And I'm not,
Yeah.
again, Rico, if this does get to you and you see me and,
Yeah.
you know, please don't be mean to me. You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to be mean to him, but we got to deal with the theology
Yeah, sure.
because it's not just coming from this individual. We're seeing,
Right.
like, right now, it just seems like this is a big deal
Yeah.
in the Torah community.
Yeah, this seems to be popping up in a lot of different, like, I just kind of perusing through the YouTube teacher land. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of, I'm seeing this topic come up. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know if the Holy Spirit is really like trying to bring this discussion out into the open and pull the falsehoods out of this thing. Like, he's, because he's always trying to clean house, right?
Yep.
Judgment must begin with
In
the
the house
house
of
of
God.
God
Come on.
first,
Yep.
right?
Yep.
And so a part of that judgment is bringing back to the reality of things and getting off of the like the falsehoods, and because we walk a very narrow path, right?
Yep.
We walk a narrow path, and on this narrow path there's two ditches to fall into, and it doesn't take a whole big step off of either side to
It
fall
doesn't.
into
It
one of these
doesn't, man. You're
ditches.
so correct, man.
Yeah, and one of the ditches is rabbinic Orthodox
Talmud.
thought, like the Talmud,
The
the
Mishnah.
teachings, yeah, the teachings of the rabbis, and then the other side is the lawless pagan Christianity
Yep.
that most of us have come from.
Yep.
And so, yeah, we're on this very narrow path, and man, Yeshua is the one who is leading us upon this path,
Right.
right? So he's the one we're having to follow, and if it doesn't point back to him and give him the due honor as our high priest,
Yep.
as our king, as
Oh,
our
man.
rabbi, then we're gonna step off the
Yeah.
path,
Yeah, and I think what's going to happen today, just for all of our viewers and listeners, man, this is probably going to be, there's no way we're going to be able to answer and talk at depth with this. And I also want to clarify something. Neither Tyler nor myself, and I'm speaking for you, please speak up. Consider ourselves experts in the
Yeah,
topic,
no,
right?
yeah.
Our concern is, and this is the biggest concern, and he just said it, is that everything that we do leads to Messiah. At
Yeah.
least it should. And you hear a particular phrase within these groups. Every person that I've heard that follows this doctrine, and I know the guys are out there, well, tell us what the doctrine is, right? And we will. But everybody that follows this, they all say the same thing. It's an echo.
Yeah.
Like, this has nothing to do with your salvation, but the
Right.
problem is it absolutely does.
Yeah.
Because
Yeah.
once you get down this road, you go down this is
Yeah.
going to be your vein. You're in, this is that pendulum, right?
Right.
And we
Yeah.
have seen it that this is one of those final moments before you go completely off the rail.
Right. Yeah, you're with this particular topic, you're walking up to the cliff and peering over the edge,
Oh, that's
right?
good. Yeah.
Like you tiptoe up to the cliff, man, and if you just take one more step off into this doctrine,
Yeah.
this man, it will take you over the edge,
Yeah. Well, let's tell him what it is. We're going to be talking about Rico Cortez comes out with a video, and I'm sure this is not, he's not the only guy. I mean, like, we can name a list of people who teach this, and this has caused a lot of church damage, right? And we've kind
Yeah.
of hit it before on a couple of our episodes where this caused damage to our own community. And that's not, you know, we're not going against this because, oh, this happened. I'm just going to be very, very clear. I believe this well before this ever happened. And I believe this before I ever became a follower or a Torah, more of a
Yeah.
Torah guy, man.
Yeah.
You know, you just read the Bible. You know, the very first thing you have to do, I think, when you attack any theology is that you have to decide what your final authority is going to be.
Yep,
Okay.
absolutely.
And so you mentioned a couple of things, and I think you're spot on. Is, you know, you know, are you getting your doctrine? And I just said this on the Shabbat, right? I said that, like, I quoted, I think, Ignatius from some of his writings. And I make sure to tell our community, look, I don't use this as doctrine. This isn't doctrine. The Book of Enoch, I know there's a lot of people out there, they swear by it. The Book of Jubilees, man. I mean, people swear by this stuff, Maccabees and so on and so forth, right? And here's the thing, none of that is doctrine. Okay? Now, you may use it to enforce doctrine if it's aligned to scripture. But everything that we talk and what we're going to be talking about today, it has to come to the totality of scripture. When a person makes the statement, this is what the Bible says, and yet it's not in scripture, it's not in the totality of scripture, you're in a very dangerous place. Would you agree or disagree?
I mean, you're it's almost like you're proclaiming, "Thus saith the Lord," when the
Exactly.
Lord hasn't spoken,
Yeah.
you know? And so it's especially people who are, whether they are actual teachers or not, if you, because I remember there was this guy, he would always say, "I'm not a teacher, I'm not a teacher," but he proceeds to teach you
Oh my
like a
goodness.
vid, like, you know, he does these videos on YouTube
Yeah.
and he's always like, you know, disclaimer, I'm not a teacher, but
But
he's
you're
putting
teaching a
out these
doctrine. Yeah.
hour-long
Yep.
videos of him
Yeah.
teaching something. And
I
it's
had a
like,
guy just like that, man, that used to be here, and he's like, "Oh, I'm not a teacher anymore. I'm not a pastor anymore," but that's what he wanted to be. I mean, really, when a guy says that, he's really just saying what he's really wanting to be, and he's wanting to be a pastor, right?
And so,
I had the same guy say something about the two-half theology, which we can go into that. I've already done videos on that before, and he's like, he literally said that if you don't know understand the two-half doctrine, that you're going to be deceived in the last days. There's a problem with that. I have, do you not? Not biblical. That's not what's going to deceive people, right? And so this goes on and on and on and on and on. I'm sorry, I know I interrupted. I
No,
cut you
you're
off.
good. I was just gonna say, like, when you say, like, this is what the Bible says, and you
Show
know,
it.
like, yeah, and it's like when you put yourself in that position, like, man, we got to be super careful that it lines up, you know,
Agreed.
and it's.
And I think it's interesting because these same people that are saying, well, it's in the Bible or the Bible says, and you go, well, show me where that is, right? I was challenged on this doctrine of and we're going to go into, guys, this is what it really about. It's going to boil down to, we got to get it out in the open because we keep ho-humming around. We're just kind of setting a foundation. And we're dealing with sacrifices. We're dealing with the temple. And we're dealing with the return
The
of Messiah.
priesthood.
When you think of the eschatology of the study of end times, it's the study of end times. I got in trouble because I forgot to flip it over so y'all can see. Not that you need to see this fat head of mine. But eschatology is the study of end times and how it's all going to unpack. And I'm going to say this, nobody has a pulse on it. They may think they do, right? Nobody does. And what we can only assume is what scripture has revealed to us. And there's a lot of stuff that could be missing, right? And so, granted, there's that. But when you come into and say, and this is what happened, like what really brought this thing out was several months ago, I was accused of sinning. Okay? And the sin was that they accused me of was breaking Deuteronomy 4, which says not to add or
Add
take
or
away.
take away,
That's exactly right. And this is where it really became, and I was like, what are you talking about? It's like one message I got up and I preached that the sacrificial system was done away with. And I still believe that today. And they said, well, you're a false teacher. You're violating scripture. And I said, okay. So this person that said this obviously believed in the sacrificial system. Okay, obviously did. And so then he asked me, and then I said, I basically kind of retorted back. I said, well, you're doing the same thing. And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, show me in the Bible where the third temple is. Now, I'm not an expert at the Bible, but I've read the Bible. I've studied the scriptures a long time. And the term or terminology of the third temple isn't even in there. It comes out of actually Maimonides.
Yeah, Matt. Yeah.
is where we actually get it, which
Yeah.
is
Rambam.
Rambam,
Yeah.
which is
Medieval
medieval
rabbi. Yeah.
rabbi, no Holy Spirit moving. I mean, this is a time of dark
Yeah.
ages, right?
Right.
There was no
Yeah.
movement of God happening, right?
Right.
People failed to realize that.
Yeah, that's
And there
true.
was actually it, this is well over 70 AD.
Yeah.
And when they begin to have a hope for a third temple,
Right.
it was that terminology that came out of that. But scripturally, it doesn't exist. Matter of fact, when you really unpack the understanding of the new temple, it takes on a different meaning. And we're not going to get into that today. We're
Right.
probably going to end up getting there,
Yeah, it's such a
right?
big topic
It is a
and
huge topic. And I think we do need to unpack it because it's the day that we're living in. But
yeah.
I digress, right?
Yeah.
So we want to get to this video. Let's get to this video. I'm going to let you take the lead on this, and then we're just going to talk about certain sects of it. I asked, just, for full transparency, I looked at it, seen about 4 minutes of it. Within 4 minutes of it, I was like, this is garbage. Like everything I was reading, everything that it was not everything that he said was absolute, right? But
Right.
there was enough of what he said
Yeah.
that he claims as scripture that is not
Right.
scripture.
Yeah.
Okay, that we've got to come back and say, wait a minute, guys.
Yeah.
Like if you want to believe that, that's fine. But when you make a statement, this is what the Bible says,
Yeah.
and you need to read your Bible more,
Right.
we're in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say, excuse me, whenever you were saying that none of us have like the end times thing, the viewpoint 100%, we all see through a glass darkly,
Amen.
right? But the thing is if you take out one of the most important pieces of your puzzle piece of the end times, you take that puzzle piece out and you kind of like put it to the side and put something else in its place,
Right.
you will never get the right
Oh yeah.
viewpoint. So it's like
Dude, that's so good.
whenever you take Messiah out of his role, like truly who he is and what his role is and what he has really done,
Right.
and you kind of like you'll give it lip service, like we hear people give it lip service, but you're gonna have to offer a sacrifice to be cleansed
That's right.
in this new temple or
Yeah.
whatever is coming.
Yeah.
So
Okay. So let's get into this, right? So
yeah.
we're probably gonna more, we're gonna probably like if you're listening, I hope you stay connected with us because this is not gonna be solved today. You
Yeah.
know what I'm saying? And there are viewpoints, there are biblical points that we need to make when it comes to the third temple. But this is primarily not really about the third. It isn't about the third
Right.
temple, more as it is about some of the very startling claims that he has
Right.
that we know don't line up
Right.
scripture. So
And so, yeah,
give
so
me
one
one.
of them, excuse me, man, all that dust flying around. Anyway, so in this video, about the 5 minute and 6 second mark. So he's what he's trying to do is he's trying to say that we need to be really, really excited over the fact of these red heifers that have, he mentions the red heifers that were flown from Texas
Oh
to
yeah,
Israel.
that was a couple of years
Yeah, that
ago.
was a, yeah, it was, I mean, in this video, I want to say this video is about a year old.
Okay.
So it's not like it was done last week or anything,
Okay.
but if relatively recent, I guess. But anyway, his idea is his main point is that we need to be excited about these red heifers
Okay.
because that is an absolute piece. It's a sign that Messiah is almost here
Wow.
because these red heifers are now being brought to Israel.
Okay, pause.
So, yeah.
All right. So, first and foremost, as a Bible scholar, as someone that we all read the Bible,
Yeah.
okay, would you be okay with me asking you where's that at in the Bible?
That the sign of the times is the red
Well,
heifer.
no, here's what I want. Here's what I want to do. Like, where in Scripture, and I'm talking about the canonized Bible.
Yeah.
Genesis Revelation, I can give a rip about what translation you want to, like, whether you're
Yeah.
ESV, whether you're Message, which is
Right.
watered down. You know,
Right.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, where is it where this is mentioned? Like, where Jesus and Messiah, I'm sorry, Jesus, Messiah, where you Messiah and the red heifers,
Right.
just give me a verse that brings them together.
Right.
One, just one.
Man, I seriously, like the appearance of the Messiah, that he's coming, that he's near, because the red heifers have come. I man, there's not even anything close to the Bible even saying anything like
Well, yeah, I
that.
mean, Yeshua himself in Matthew 24 gives probably one of the. I always tell people when you're looking at eschatology, there's two passages that you really can look at and hold on to very tightly. Well, three if you want to go through the whole book of Revelations, right? Because that's a lot of that. But in basically the letters of the apostles, number one is absolutely go to Matthew 24, right?
Sure.
This is Yeshua himself telling us the how everything's going to happen, line upon line. He runs it down for you. The other one is Paul's example, and Paul uses it in the book of Thessalonians, right? And he kind of gives a, and what people don't understand is that Thessalonians is a broad stroke. It's a big picture overview. But Yeshua, he gives a detailed, he gives the detail like, first, you're going to see
Yeah, false
the false
messiahs, false
Messiah show up.
prophets come,
Then you're going to see some bad stuff happening. And then where you see the vultures gather, that's
wars,
when my servant, the angel, is going to be released, and then he'll gather, right? I mean, you see these steps by steps in the book, and he tells us, don't be afraid of this. Not one mention, you would think, okay, again, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, bro. You would think that when you start looking at scripture and you start talking about eschatology, and you throw in a speaker who says, hey, you need to be excited because the red heifers, this is going to usher in Messiah. Like you would have think that our king, the Messiah himself, will go, hey, by the way, when you see these heifers coming into Jerusalem, you need to rejoice.
There's nothing in the writings of the apostles or anywhere, there's nothing like that. But the reason he's saying that, he says that because the Messiah won't come until the temple is built first.
Okay.
And the reason that we need to be excited about the red heifer is because you can't build the temple on where the temple is supposed to stand because there's graves and people buried there. So on the Mount of Olives, there's corpse impurity. Graveyards, great, the Muslims put a graveyard right there in front of the Eastern Gate, right? And so the reason why we need to be excited is because since the red heifers are here and they're setting up the Levitical priesthood and restoring the temple, now they can cleanse that area, the Mount of Olives, with the red heifer, because Messiah cannot come there until the red heifer's ashes
Really?
will cleanse that area, because he can't come yet.
Why?
Well, because he can't walk on the graveyard, because he'll make him unclean.
Whoa, wait a minute. So you're telling me that the king of the universe, the one who, number one, he touched unclean Tazarite, or not Tazarite,
Lepers.
lepers,
Yeah, Tazarius.
Tazarene, and healed them. The one who raised Lazarus from the dead,
Yeah, that's
the
right.
one who conquered death and the grave, and who's coming back in a brand new, different
A glorified
glory.
body.
He's already came back in a glorified body. We already know that, right? Yet, this guy here is telling us that Yeshua. Now, isn't there something about when Yeshua returns? And I'm just like, again, let me play stupid for a moment, okay? Isn't there a Bible verse that says before Yeshua returns, there'll be a great shofar blast? And then isn't there
And
like
then,
that something like about the graves?
the
Like,
resurrection.
so.
I mean, and then, so we're going to get into some verses about
I'm
why.
probably
See,
jumping
because,
ahead.
what'd
I'm
you say?
probably, am I getting ahead of you?
Just a little bit,
Just a little
but
bit.
it's exciting. So,
It really is. I like it.
but so like he's for him to say that Messiah cannot come back to the Mount of Olives, walk through the Mount of Olives into the East Gate, into the temple. For him to say that he can't do that until the red heifer comes, the Levitical priests cleanse that area with the red heifers. That shows that he doesn't really understand who we're dealing with here
Right.
when he says Messiah cannot
Yeah,
do that,
but
you
he
know?
said, I've watched the video, and he even said that he's been studying this for years. So apparently he does understand it. And he says that in the last verse that we were just listening to it a little bit ago, is that we just need to study better. But
Yeah.
I don't care how much you study. This is the thing that I'm trying to bring to people's understanding.
Yeah.
Regardless of how much you study, that is not in the scriptures.
Right.
You
Yeah.
are okay. So let me pause on him and kind of give something to our people, the people who are listening. There are two ways of studying scripture. Simply two ways. Okay. The first way is called eisegesis.
Yep.
Okay. Eisegesis is where you look at scripture and basically based upon your bias, your maybe your belief system or what you're trying to lean towards, whatever,
Yeah.
that's how you interpret scripture.
Right. That's how you, yeah, talk about it
Right?
and discuss it. Yeah.
And then the second way is exegesis.
Yeah.
Exegesis is where you take the Bible for itself
Yeah.
and it's defined by scripture. It's defined by what it says.
Yeah.
The problem is that when you get into eisegesis, you can say anything you want to say about any passage to
Right.
make it say anything you want to say.
Yeah.
That's a very dangerous place to go because now you're creating your own narrative from the scriptures.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
This is where I think some of these guys are getting this from.
Right.
And you got to ask the question. And I think, just because for sake of time, because we can't go on, I don't know. The thing about this thing, it doesn't tell me how much time we have on this thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it doesn't. So it doesn't give me a counter. But
Yeah.
so I don't want to take all day on this. But the thing is, we may just have to cut it and go to another,
Sure.
come back next week.
Yeah.
But the thing about that, though, is that if we're really believing this, where does this come from?
Well, when you were talking, it was kind of occurring to me that, so if you listen to his stuff and read his stuff, so the eisegesis, that it comes from that Greek word ice. It means like into. You're putting your opinion into it,
Your narrative,
right?
yeah.
And so his whole deal and mindset and like his like life's work is about the temple. The sacrifices,
Okay.
the Levitical priesthood, and everything that they
So
have
his
to
whole
do.
ministry is about that.
Yeah, and
Okay,
so like,
fair.
and his mindset is all from the rabbis. So he's reading all of his opinions, which he has gotten from the rabbis and the Orthodox about Messiah, what's gonna happen when he comes, and the temple. It's all coming, and that's what's making him read. Get out from the Bible what he's saying he's getting because it's from the opinion. His mindset is really rabbinical, is what it is. And so he's getting that from, he's pulling all that out of the rabbinical mindset, right?
And there's a
You
problem
know?
with that because,
Yeah.
like, anybody, most of us know. I mean, the rabbis, like, I get it, man. There's a lot of thousands of years of rabbinical thinking and rabbinical thought. You have the Talmud, the Mishnah. Many other letters and oracles that people have read and brought in, but that's not scripture.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes back to that statement I made earlier, right? That this is not, it's not canon.
Yeah.
And you have the Jewish people who have, I mean, we see the whole thing like when Yeshua comes, right? What's one of the biggest things that he had to contend with? The oral law.
Yeah, the mission, what became the
What
Mishnah
became
and
the
the
Mishnah and the
Talmud and all
Talmud?
the
That was the thing that they were upholding above. I know. What
Yeah.
does it say in it says in 1:1, I think it says to build a fence
Yeah.
around the Torah,
Yeah.
right? And
Perque
so
vote.
yeah.
Yeah.
So in Porceo Vote 1:1, I believe, or 1:3, it's like build a fence around the Torah. So that's what they did.
Yeah.
And I get the reasoning behind that. But the fallacy behind that is that now they worship that and they listen to that more than they listen to the actual word of God itself.
Right. And even, man, I do, this has been on kind of been on my heart lately. This it's like we want to sit at the feet of, like, when we come into Torah, everybody's done it. I mean,
Yeah, I did
it
it.
seems
I
that
did it. I
everybody's
did it,
done it.
man.
I
I did
did
it.
it. You come into Torah and you want to look to the Jews, to the rabbis, to like teach you Torah. But man, we got to realize, like, 2 Corinthians 3, they have the veil on their hearts. when they read Torah, for one, in their own writings, they say that the words of the sages, of the scribes and the rabbis, are weightier than those of the prophets.
Isn't that crazy?
So, in other words, they have more authority than Isaiah,
yeah.
Jeremiah, Ezekiel,
yep.
Daniel, you know?
Yep, yep.
And so that's number one. And they elevate their own law above that of the actual written word of
that's
God,
right. That's right.
The law of Moses.
Right.
And that's number one. Number two, they completely deny Yeshua.
Exactly.
They like the Son of God standing before them, the Messiah who is fulfilling all of these prophecies, they hated him.
Yeah.
They denied him.
Yeah.
And in 1 John it says, if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father.
That's right.
So number one, they reject the prophets,
yeah,
the word of Yahweh.
Yeah.
Number two, the parable of the vineyard.
Come on.
They reject the Son.
He's preaching now.
They killed him and threw him out of the vineyard.
Yeah.
And what did Yeshua say that the owner will come and do? It will wipe them out.
That's right.
And so, and then he said, the owner of the vineyard will lease the vineyard to
someone else.
Others.
That's right. Come on.
So then Yeshua said, so the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to other tenants who will bear the fruit of it.
Right.
And so who are those other tenants? It was his apostles.
Yep.
The apostles were,
yeah,
the ones who were given the authority.
Yeah.
That's what he told Peter.
Yeah.
I give you the keys,
well,
of the kingdom, you know.
This is you're making such great statements, man, that we have to understand within what's happening. Listen. And this is to all of our listeners out there. Listen to the if it doesn't lead you to Christ, like even he's right in the video, in 3 or 4 minutes in, he makes the statement. It's the statement that everyone that falls into this doctrine say, this has nothing to do with your salvation. Now, at the surface level, you're probably correct. Like at the surface level, you'd go, oh yeah, that has nothing to do with Jesus. But when you look at it and you really study this out, what you're saying is so vital, because you're taking doctrine, regardless, even if, let's just say for now that it is not about your salvation. Okay, let's just say that for now. Okay, now we know otherwise, right? But let's say for now, but the thing is you're using these teachings of the rabbis and the Talmud, the Mishnah, all this stuff. You're holding that above the word of Yahweh, the word,
yeah,
of God, the scriptures.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing. And
yeah,
so it may not on surface level lead you to a salvational error, but it will.
Right.
If you continue to go down that track, it,
right,
is salvational, because
yeah,
now you're doing exactly, I preach this message on Shabbat, right? And we go back into the garden. And when we're in the garden, as soon as Adam and Eve sin, what do they try to do?
Cover themselves.
And it's exactly what a sacrifice is about. A,
yeah,
sacrifice is about covering ourselves.
Yeah.
We couldn't make ourselves clean enough. The Bible says very clearly, your works or your righteousness as filthy rags. And they'll say, well, this isn't about being righteous. This isn't about sin. It's all about being cleansed.
Right.
It's all about purity.
Yeah.
It's all about that.
Right.
And so for you to kind of distinct the difference between, well, that's not us. We're not talking about sin. We're talking about, you know, well, the statement is, well, when you go to the temple, which we don't believe that, when you go to the temple, you got to wipe your feet off because you've been in the world. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Do you think, so you're putting another veil up. You're putting another curtain up. Because Yeshua destroys the temple curtain,
yeah,
giving, and every person that understands theology, every person who understands what that event meant on the cross,
yeah,
when the temple curtain was ripped in two, there's not a man alive who doesn't understand that that meant that we now have access back to the Father. And
right,
this doctrine that's happening,
yeah,
where you say you have to go get cleansed, you have to make this sacrifice,
yeah,
what you're literally saying is that a curtain's been reestablished.
Right. And that's you know, that's kind of what I was alluding to whenever I was saying that, you know, this topic, it's like you're walking up to the cliff, and that's what you're saying. Like it might not be salvational yet, but if you keep going,
right,
where this leads, and you say like what this guy is saying, that you're going to need, in order to approach the Father in the temple, you need a Levitical priest to offer a sacrifice for you.
That's right.
That's getting up to the edge and jumping off and saying, I don't need, if you have to do that,
yeah,
then you you deny Messiah's sacrifice,
Yep.
but he's like, oh, this doesn't have anything to do with your
It has
relationship. Yes,
everything
it
to do with it.
does. Yeah.
Because our faith and our hope and our trust, everything is about Yeshua.
Right.
Everything is about it. So let's
Yeah.
get back to this.
So
So he's
yeah,
saying,
so
he's telling us that that in order for Messiah to come, guys, you need to hear this.
yeah, so
This man is stating, pardon,
yeah, go
this
ahead.
man is stating that in order for Messiah to come, these red heifers have to be sacrificed on the Temple Mount as they know it, as they know it's the Temple
Yeah.
Mount, which we know that that's not,
Right.
that's actually not,
That's totally debatable. I
come on,
mean,
yeah.
that's where they say it is like, but yeah, that's a whole nother
It
story.
really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, but so yes, he's saying that in order, this is what he says, quote, "We need to understand there are legal requirements in order for Messiah to return. How can he return and put his feet on the Mount of Olives if the place is full of graves and there's actually corpse impurity?
Oh my gosh.
This is part of the requirement for purification in order for the temple to be established,"
Yeah.
end quote, right? So from 5 minutes and 6 seconds to 5 minutes and 34 seconds, that's what he says. So, you know, get that. Like, Messiah himself cannot come until the place is cleansed with the ashes of a red heifer. And so I'm just thinking of all kinds of verses, right? Number one, that's what I was saying earlier. He doesn't truly understand who Messiah is,
Come on.
right? Obviously, when Messiah returns, we're going to get into verses too, but when he returns, he's not going to. His feet are a blazing bronze
Come
fire.
on, dude.
How is he going to need ashes of a red heifer? Anyway, so let's get into some verses. So, Matthew 8,
Okay,
right?
read it.
Matthew 8, 2. Let me go to the TLV.
Oh, man.
So, I'll start in verse 1, Matthew 8, 1. "When he came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. And a man with sara'at, or leprosy, came to him and bowed down before him, saying, 'Master, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' And Yeshua stretched out his hand
Oh
and
my gosh.
touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Immediately his leprosy was cleansed." Right? Now, before someone says, "Well, wait a minute, what about verse 4? Hang on, let me say something about verse 4. So anyway, a rabbi back in the day, let's say rabbi what's this two houses, the Hillel and the Shammai. Let's say Rabbi Shammai is walking through, and a leper is going to come up
And
to
touch him?
and touch Rabbi Shammai.
Oh,
Rabbi
dude.
Shammai will
Would run.
flip his
He would
lid.
flip. He'd sprint to the temple.
Man, he would cuss him out and, you know, flip his
Come
lid
on, man.
and not let him 1,000 feet near him,
Yeah,
right?
right.
But Yeshua isn't defiled by the leper. The leper is cleansed
By
by
Yeshua,
Yeshua. He
making him
touches him.
pure.
Yeshua touched him and made him. Can you imagine, like, when he touches him, his skin just immediately clears up,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I mean, because it was just like, it was the most marvelous and amazing thing I'm sure they'd ever seen.
Yeah.
So it's like, number one, he isn't defiled by what me and you and somebody else could be defiled with.
No way.
He causes life to come forth.
Yeah.
What he's saying in John 5, that as the Father has life within himself,
That's right.
so has he given the Son
Yeah.
to have life. So he has eternal life flowing
Well,
out
I
from
mean,
within
that
him.
comes to
Yeah.
also too, and you probably have this verse, and I can't help but think when you're talking about this, is you talk about the woman with the issue of blood.
Yeah, exactly.
Touching
Yeah,
Rabbi?
right.
Touching Messiah?
Right. Yeah.
Touching, like, you don't hear her saying, I'm going to go touch Rabbi Shammai
Yeah.
or Rabbi,
Hillel,
Hillel.
whatever. Yeah.
Like, she knows that life is in him,
Yeah.
right?
Right.
She's purified
Yeah.
from Yeshua.
Right.
Made completely whole.
Yeah. And when she touched him in faith, it says that he felt power go out from
That's
him.
right.
And so the power, that the life that's within him,
Yeah.
it went out and it cleansed her.
Oh my goodness.
It doesn't ever say, like, well, she touched him and he's like, wait a minute, guys, hang on. I need to go get cleansed
That's
by the
right.
ashes of red
That's
heifer.
right.
So anyway, what I was going to say, so in Matthew 8:4, after what I had read about him cleansing the leper. It says this: Yeshua said to him, "See that you tell no one, but go show yourself to the Kohen, the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded." So, you know, when a leper was cleansed, you're supposed to go and offer show the priest, and
Sure.
he will declare you clean. And they off. And the reason he said that, see, some people might say, like, see, he's telling you go offer the sacrifice. Well, this is a special case because, you know, the woman that came to him and broke the alabaster jar,
Right.
poured the ointment on his feet, he didn't tell. She came to him for forgiveness,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And he didn't tell her, go show yourself to the priest and offer the sin offering.
That's right.
He said, you are forgiven.
That's right.
Because he had the authority to declare you forgiven and cleansed of your sin, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The reason he's saying offer here is because this person has been ostracized from community,
So
from Israel.
culturally, she had to do it so that she would not be ostracized any
Yes,
longer.
culturally, this leper, it's like he would get a certificate saying, the priest has declared me clean. I can get a job now.
Yeah.
I can come back in the city now.
That's good.
I can be a part of society again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the only reason he told this guy to
Absolutely.
do that.
Absolutely.
Other than that, he didn't tell the woman that wanted forgiveness of sins,
Yeah.
go to the temple
Well,
and
what's
offer.
even
You
like,
know.
let me just throw this in the curve because I think this is so good. Like, one of the other things that we notice through both of these interactions, or all these interactions, you can probably have scripture already on it, is the fact that we don't see Yeshua after both of these interactions.
Going to the temple to
Thank
be
you.
cleansed, yeah.
Which goes back to the original thought that we're talking about. We haven't even
Yeah.
got into this video. I mean, we've talked about one point,
Yeah.
right? And that point is, like, why does he, like, the red heifer?
Yeah. Yeah. Why does
Why
Yeshua
is he
need the
not?
red
Why is he
heifer?
not clean? You know, they
Yeah.
take Ezekiel. This is the whole idea. They take
Yeah.
Ezekiel and they use Ezekiel. That we're going to go into that some other time. But yeah, there's a lot of error in this because he's saying, look, Yeshua didn't ever, never, not one time. You know, he's
Yeah.
talking about that he cannot touch a dead person, which is uncleanliness. And that's
Yeah.
the excuse that many people use. Oh, it's you can't touch a dead body, can't touch a dead body, can't touch a dead
Right.
body. Like, are people going, like, maybe you need to clarify something. Like, are
Yeah.
people going around touching a lot of dead bodies like that I don't know of? Is this a thing? Are
Well,
there Christians running around touching dead bodies?
yeah. I mean, well, his whole thing was is that like we're unclean from corpse impurity because we're, you know,
Okay, I'm
we've
just.
all been to a cemetery. We
I've never
are.
touched a dead body.
Well, I mean, you've walked over a graveyard without knowing it, you
I
know.
guess. I've never done that.
Yeah.
You know, it's
Well,
not my
that's his
thing.
thing. Like he says that, like you.
That's my pro. That's the
Yeah.
whole issue is why people are so asleep to this. Like just the common sense and the rationale for someone who would read their Bible and understand the scriptures. You know, that's what he said in part of his video. I don't remember what part he said. Read your Bible. You just don't read your Bible enough. You need to read your Bible more.
Yeah.
Like, you can read your Bible a million times more, and
Right.
you're not going to understand this
Right.
because you're creating a false dichotomy.
Yeah.
It's a false teaching.
Right. He's starting with a false premise, i.e., Messiah needs to be cleansed
Yes.
before he can return. I don't see that anywhere,
Well, I don't
you know.
see that, and we know that we know one thing that's interesting to me. Let's go back to Messiah, okay? So when Messiah came out of the grave, right, he
Yeah.
did tell Mary, "Do not touch me, for I've not ascended into my Father yet."
Yeah,
But
right.
then when he came back in his glorified form, which is
Yeah.
what he'll come back again, what
Right.
did he tell Thomas?
Yeah, he said, put your hands on my
Touch me.
yeah, right.
Touch me. Put your hand in my side. Put your
Yeah.
finger there. Touch me.
Yeah. I think the reason that he time mentioned this, the reason he told her that is because in the Torah, whenever you ought before you could eat of the first fruits. Or before you could eat
You
of
had to
the
offer
grape,
it to the
you
Father.
had to offer it, right? So she couldn't touch him
He's first fruits.
because he was the first fruit.
Come on, bro.
So yeah, but let me read this verse
Come
in
on.
Luke 8:40. So this guy, his whole premise is that Yeshua can't return because he's gonna need the ashes of the red heifer to cleanse him because he can't come into contact
Yeah.
with death. So Luke 8:40, as Yeshua returned. The crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. And here came a man named Jairus, a leader in the synagogue. Falling at Yeshua's feet, he begged him to come to his house
Let's go.
because his only daughter, about 12 years old, was dying. But as he made his way, the masses were crushing upon him. Then the woman with the blood, right? So let's skip that part because we already kind of mentioned that. So in verse 49, after he cleansed the woman with the issue of blood, while he was still speaking, someone comes from the house of the synagogue leader saying, "Your daughter's dead. Don't bother him anymore," right? Wow. But hearing this, Yeshua replied to him, "Do not fear. Just keep trusting. Believe," right? "Have faith, and she shall be restored." But when Yeshua came into the house, he did not let anyone enter with him except Peter, John, and Jacob, or James, and the child's father and mother. And everyone was weeping and lamenting for her, but he said, "Don't weep, for she did not die, but she is sleeping." But they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But Yeshua took her by the hand and called her up, saying, "Child, get up." And her spirit returned.
Wait a minute. That's not the wrong version. The other version probably has he went and sacrificed a red heifer first.
And that's then, Matthew's.
And then went and touched her.
No, he touched her, and then he had to go sacrifice
there you go.
The red
heifer. Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, so if he can't come into contact with death because he needs the ashes of red, he makes dead things live.
Come on, bro.
He doesn't need the ashes of the red heifer. Yeah.
This
like,
is,
we don't know who we're... He doesn't
this
know.
Whole ideology, this whole ideology that comes out of that is a... It's absolutely leading people away from Christ.
Yeah.
And that's why we say that. Because, and I think you're right. I think, yes, I'm not questioning this gentleman's salvation, but I am questioning his theology. And I obviously just looking at scripture, like actually looking at scripture, not saying like even this gentleman that tried to accuse me of violating Deuteronomy 4, he couldn't really present scripture to me to say that I did that. Like he never did. Like, and he's mentioning this thing about the third temple and he can't present that to me. Nobody can, you know? And so you've got to ask. And I think that's one of the things we're establishing today. And I don't know how much time we've got. I mean, we've been going a little bit. We may have to.
Yeah, I think it's been almost an hour, maybe.
Yeah, I think we need to wrap this up, you know. And so this is just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean.
We haven't even got into. You're only into one section.
I haven't even gone through all the verses I wrote down for this one particular 30-second clip.
Yeah, and that's probably because we talk too much and we're talking about it. Well, I mean, it's just there's so much to talk about in this conversation. It is something that is out there in our communities today. It is something that's in the Torah. And the problem with that is that when you have people like you and I, or people that are new to Torah, that are coming in and they love Messiah, dude.
Right.
And that love of Messiah is leading them to Messiah's Torah. And then they get a guy like this or others that you and I have come in contact with, and they're teaching this doctrine that's completely, completely, number one, non-biblical. It is not in Scripture. Now, again, I'm going to come back and say, now, if this is an opinion that you want to carry, dude, you go right ahead. You can say, hey, this is my opinion. But when you say that this is what the Bible says, and when you make a statement like we know someone has and says, I'm concerned about your salvation because you don't believe in this. You're in dangerous place.
I mean, on surface level, it sounds good for those coming into Torah. Like, oh, well, if Torah's not done away with, then, you know, according, you know, you can't be cleansed until the ashes of the red heifer. And anyway, on very, very surface level, it's
very
like,
surface.
Oh, okay, yeah, maybe that makes sense. But then it's like, wait a minute, like, Messiah doesn't need that.
No.
You know? And it's like, it shows his lack of revelation concerning who he really is.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
He's not just another Israelite son of David.
Come on.
This physical descendant.
That's right.
That needs to get up under Aaron and be cleansed by a son of Aaron. That's not who we're dealing with. And can I give a few more verses before we shut up?
Yeah, please, go ahead. Go ahead.
So, you know, those verses I read about him coming into contact with death and the leper, that was before he died and resurrected.
Right.
That was before his resurrected, his body, right?
Right.
So just kind of thinking of it, after he resurrected, he appeared behind closed doors at will, right? So he was in a glorified body, right? And so let's look at some a couple of verses in Psalms 97, 1 through 5.
Come on.
Yahweh reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many islands be glad. Clouds and darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of the throne. Now think about this as the return of Messiah, because this is exactly what it sounds like, right? Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries on every side. His lightnings light up the world. The earth sees and trembles. What does it say? What did Messiah say? When they say he's in the wilderness, don't go out, because when
Don't
he
run.
comes, it'll be like the lightning
Come on,
that
dude.
comes from the east to the west. Every eye will see. So when it says his lightning lights up the whole world and the earth sees and trembles, this is when the Son of Man is coming on the clouds of heaven with the glory of his Father and his angels, right? The mountains melt like wax at the presence of Yahweh.
Come on.
So when it says in Zechariah that he will put his feet on the Mount of Olives, right? So Rico Cortez is saying that he can't do that until the ashes of the red heifer cleanse that area. But right here, the mountains melt like wax
Come on.
under his
Come
feet.
on, bro.
Man, he is a blazing fire. He's not gonna be defiled by a spot of the earth that had a dead body in it at
Come
one
on.
point. The mountain will melt like a candle that's been burning. It'll melt.
Come on,
Like,
bro.
he's not gonna need that.
No.
The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples have seen his glory, right?
Yeah.
And so let me look at another one. Let's go to, and there's a few of them. Let's go to Micah 1, 2 through 4. There's a few more, but we can probably cut this off here in a little bit. Did I say Micah 1 or Micah 2?
Micah 2, I thought.
I think, yeah. No, Micah 1, 2 through 4.
2,
Okay.
3, 4.
So here, O peoples, all of you, attention. O land and everything in it, Yahweh Elohim will be witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, Yahweh is coming forth out of his place. He will come down and trample on the high places of the land. The mountains will melt away under him, and the valleys will split apart like wax before the fire, like water being poured down a slope.
Yeah.
Right? Again, like
See, you fall
it,
into this. What happens is you fall into this understanding, and that's why we keep telling people, man, this leads you away from Messiah.
yeah, it does.
And maybe it doesn't lead you salvationally, but it definitely, like you're saying, and what you're the picture that you've painted for us is, my goodness, that is like hot. The picture that you're painting for us is just who Yeshua is, and you lose sight of who Christ really is, right? And now you begin to believe what the rabbis say and what they're saying Christ is like. These are the very same people, and I want to renote, these are the very same people that don't believe in the Yeshua that we follow of the New Testament.
That's right.
These people that believe this understanding, I'm just letting y'all know, this is for our hearers, because everyone needs to understand this. People like this, and I don't know what his stance is on it, but I just know in my experience, the men that have adapted to this theology, number one, they lose sight on who Messiah is, and then they begin to question Messiah's word, or they begin to question the word. So what do? They start removing, they want to remove certain books because
Hebrews.
it doesn't align with
Their
their
theology.
eisegesis, right? It's not aligning to that. So, well, we've got to get rid of this because it doesn't match. That's what I was told to do. Stop teaching out of a particular book because this stuff is too hard to understand. And I said, it's not too hard to understand. It's very clear. It's very clear if you understand, if you don't get lost in the weeds of this red heifer. And so let me ask you this, and I know we need to wrap it up, but let me ask you this, and you probably have a ton of more scriptures. How many times is the red heifer mentioned in scripture?
As far as I know, just Numbers 19. I mean, or it, I mean, right? I don't know.
That's correct. So the red heifer is mentioned only one time within scripture, And that time is in, you're right, Numbers
Yeah.
19. It's the only time that it's mentioned. And yet, I'm going to get ahead of myself if I say what I'm about to say, because I know he hasn't
Go
got there yet about the red heifer. I don't know.
ahead, say
You
it.
know, well, I mean, he's saying that this sacrifice has to happen,
Yes.
yet you would think,
It would have
again,
happened before.
it would have happened before.
Yeah.
Like, do we have an example of it other than him cleansing the first temple, of using it for the first temple?
Well, and let me make a point to that. I was
Okay,
actually
please.
gonna say, so his thing is that they cannot build the temple until the ashes of the red heifer cleanse the area, right? But whenever you look at when they came out of Egypt and Yahweh was telling them that, hey, build me a tabernacle, I will dwell in the midst of you, there's no picture whatsoever of before they built the tabernacle, wherever Yahweh led them, wherever the fire and the cloud went, and they pitched the tabernacle there. There's nothing at all about, well, wait a minute, before we pitch the tabernacle here, let's cleanse the area with the ashes of a red
Boy,
heifer.
that's good. That's
I
good.
don't recall reading
Mm-mm.
that. Because
Because the fire of Yahweh cleansed it.
when Yahweh appeared to Moses as the angel of Yahweh in the bush in the fire, he said, "Take off your shoes.
For the place
The
which you
ground,
stand is holy.
that the place wasn't special. It was who was there that was special. He made the ground holy." Joshua 5, which is the angel of, Joshua sees this person standing. He said, "Hey, are you for us, for our enemies?"
I'm for neither.
He said, "Neither. But as the captain of the host of
Host.
Yahweh, I come before you. So take off your shoes,
For the
because the
place.
ground where you stand is holy."
Because he was there.
Because he was there. It wasn't just this little spot that was like all of a sudden is holy. He was there.
So it's
So,
almost like when you start thinking about this, I mean, this is so. Like, we're going to wrap it up, okay?
yeah,
Because I mean, we're going to
go on.
continue on this next week. This is
Yeah,
probably going to be
sure.
a topic we're going to have to like
Yeah,
really
let's dig it
unpack.
out. Yeah, man. Yeah.
So think about this, guys. So the things that we know of the Tanakh, the things we know under the Levitical priesthood, are all shadows.
They're shadows.
They're shadows
Yeah.
of what's to come.
Yeah, it's not the
Who is
reality.
to come? Yeshua.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to do this one day, and maybe in the next couple of weeks. Because after all of this crazy stuff began to happen, right, I had to go back apologetically and look at the scriptures and say, what does the scriptures actually say about this? And when you take the 10 sacrifices that are within scripture, the 10 of them, 7 of those sacrifices are dealing with atonement or sin. I'm sorry,
Seven,
7 of them.
yeah.
The other 3 are
Yeah.
dealing with relationship of approaching Yahweh,
Yeah. Like Thanksgiving.
all of which Yeshua did.
Yeah.
Put my finger in the camera, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so what they're trying to do is what people have done for thousands of years, all the way back to Adam and Eve,
Right.
is they're trying to
Cover
cover
themselves.
themselves.
Wow, that's good. Yeah.
And you cannot do it, church. Listen, I'm not even on me. There we go. You cannot do it. There's not a sacrifice that you can do that will cover your nakedness.
That's right.
This is why, even in the book of Revelations, what does Yeshua tell us? He tells us to buy gold refined for him and take by what? By clothes
Yeah.
that are white, which refers to his purity.
His righteousness.
He's the only one, his righteousness, he's the only one that can clothe you. He is the only one, right?
Yeah.
Why? So that we can cover our nakedness. The only thing that a sacrifice did was hopefully temporarily.
Gave you some time.
Gave you some time, man. Like, it
Yeah.
doesn't take away the filth.
Right.
Like, I don't care. Okay, somebody says, well, it's not about salvation, it's about purity. Okay? You can't take away the filth
Yeah.
from a sacrifice.
Yeah.
It can't do it.
Yeah.
The only way that can happen is the blood of Yeshua. That's how powerful it is.
That's right.
And so if you're following guys like this, if you're following a teaching like this, man, what would you tell them? What would you tell them?
I would say, you need to remember who, what altar, what all, it boils down to this.
Uh-oh, I know where you're going.
What altar are you eating from, and who is your high priest?
That's right.
Is it going to be Aaron, and you're eating from the altar of, the Herod's temple?
Yeah.
Or are you eating from the altar, the sacrifice of Yeshua? And is he being your high priest? That's really what it boils
That's
down
it.
to,
That's it. Listen, there are so many people that are in the mainstream Hebraic roots movement. Yeah, like I said that correctly. That are in this movement, and they're people that people value. They're people that they, some very popular book writers, apologetics, and people are following these guys, and they're not questioning it. They're not going back and go, wait a minute, that's. That doesn't, you know, there's, they bring up this doctrine of, oh, it's a heavenly temple that's up there and the earthly temple, and they bring this confusion. So there's so much out there of it. There's so much fog and so many weeds that people have stopped really looking into the word and the truth and looking into Yeshua and going, wait a minute, he's my ultimate sacrifice. That's what it's about. We're going to talk more about this, guys. There's so much more that we can talk about. I haven't said it earlier, but man, if you haven't done so, like and subscribe to this page. Man, I know this is a really controversial topic. It is in the movement. We're not trying to cause controversy. What we are trying to do is reveal scripture, the actual scripture, you know,
Bring clarity.
bring clarity to what the word says. But listen, listen to me. And I think my brother would agree. Go and read your Bible, open it up for yourself, and
Yes.
listen. Stop creating doctrine that's not in there.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. We're creating doctrine that doesn't exist. It's coming out of the Talmud. It's coming out of the
Yeah.
Mishnah. It's coming out of the ancient writings that people are going, oh, this is why we got to believe this, man. We don't follow the rabbis.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't. We don't. We follow. Well, we
Yeah.
do follow a rabbi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rabbi Yeshua Messiah.
Right.
He's our rabbi.
Yeah.
Not, I don't care
Right.
how good of a guy Gamaliel was. He was a
Right.
great, he was a good rabbi.
Yeah. Why would you sit at the feet of the ones whom scripture says they don't know God? They as much insight about the Torah and the historical
Every
things
one
that
of them,
happened,
every one of them are going to have to bow.
they all deny Yeshua. They all have the veil. Like, don't sit at their feet, like as like an actual disciple. You know, like,
And if anybody says to you, well, this is hard to understand, it's complicated, run. I'm telling the truth, run. Because it's not. See, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, right? We talked about the Holy Spirit. And I made a comment. I said, we have an authenticator. And see, the authenticator is the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit's not checking you in your spirit when you hear this teaching, you better run. You better run. And the reason I say this is because you may be lacking the Holy Spirit. You may not be listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We don't follow people because other people follow this person. We don't follow them. We follow people. We follow particular teachings because it lines up with Scripture. So basically, we don't follow people. We follow Scripture.
Absolutely, yeah.
It has to match up to Scripture. Listen, we love you guys, and we're praying for you. And if you have questions, if there's doctrinal stuff, man, that you're hearing from teachers that you know, and you want us to maybe take a look at it. And again, neither Tyler nor myself, we are not experts, man. We're just simple people, man, that read the Bible, that study for ourselves to show ourselves approved, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth,
Yeah.
not dividing other people, man.
Yeah.
Because their stuff doesn't matter. It's like,
Right.
what does the Bible say? Right? And so we
Yeah.
need this. Look at every time Paul or Yeshua corrected people, he said, it is written.
Yeah.
It is written. It is written. It
Absolutely.
is written. It is written. It is written. Right? And so we're gonna end it with that. And I mean, we can probably go on for this. This could be a 2 or 3 hour
Oh,
discussion,
yeah, for sure.
but we're gonna bring it back next week. We're gonna continue down this vein, and we're just using this individual as a catalyst for us to have these conversations, because it just happens. This is
It
probably,
was sent to
it
you,
was
I
sent to
mean,
me.
so
Yeah, it was sent to
we're
me.
not like looking for
Yeah, I am
some.
not, but, and I'm telling you, I'm not looking for this stuff. This stuff is coming to me, and people are asking me, what do you think about this guy? And again, I can't, and I told this person, I don't know anything about this person, but this doctrine that he's telling is false. It's false teaching. Right. Remember, the Bible says, Jesus said that in the last days, many will say, hey, Jesus is over here, and Jesus is over here.
Yeah.
Right. And he said, don't believe them. Don't
Right.
believe them, guys. All right. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Again, subscribe to our page. Send us an email, mike@epiclifetarot.com. If you have questions or concerns, or you can send it to Mr. Tyler Utcove at tyler@epiclifetarot.com. And until next time, we'll see you. God bless you.
See y'all later. God
Shalom,
bless.
shalom.
Shalom.